you.
Redvine?
Are the women here, Lady Prescott and the girl?
No, I don't think so.
They're with the abbot. Shall I order them fetched?
No.
Cadval, what's happened?
I have black news. Gilbert Prescott is dead.
Dead? But you said...
Murdered. There is a murderer in the abbey.
Dead Man's Ransom by Ellis Peters. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. And narrated by Michael Kitchen. With Philip Maddock as Brother Cadvile, Jonathan Taffler as Hugh Beringer, and Susanna York as Sister Magdalene. Episode 3, A Princely Death.
It is winter in the year of our Lord 1141, in an England riven by civil war. The welcome prospect of an alliance between King Stephen's men in Shrewsbury and Owain, Prince of Gwynedd, ruler of North Wales, appears to have been shattered in a single stroke.
Are you sure of your words, monk?
Quite sure.
He was wounded and weak, Cadvile. Maybe he just sunk too low to climb back up again. No blame to you, my lord.
He was very feeble, true. It would have been easy to slip over the threshold.
Then why raise the cry of murder?
But only if the threshold had been greased.
Speak plainly.
There was a hand that held him under, and the signs are clear.
I see no signs.
Show us.
Look here. Round his nose and mouth.
Bruises?
From his fall?
Yeah, they weren't there when we put him to bed. Neither were the teeth marks in his lip. See?
What do they mean?
That someone clamped a hand over his mouth and pressed down hard.
To cut off his breath?
I think to stop him crying out. He was likely smothered with something soft, held over his entire face.
There must be no mistake about this.
There is none. As sure as God sees us, this man was murdered.
Dear God in heaven, in the abbey.
My charge from the prince was to bring you one man and take another back. The mission is void.
His death came in our hands, not yours. Your part was done, and done well.
Not well enough. But in any case, I can't return home. Not until the truth is known.
Father Abbot, surely you've been in the company of the Lord Ithel since he arrived?
Yes, I have. And his two captains with us.
Then they are free of any slur.
You should return to Owain Gwynedd, my lord. Let him know what's happened here.
Yes, I will do so. But that leaves the six men of my company. They must be considered.
Everyone within these walls must be considered.
Cadvile!
Father, if one of the Welshmen wanted Lord Prescott dead, why should he wait until he arrived here?
But one of the brothers?
Or one of the servants? Mm-hmm. One of the wayfarers are sheltered here. One of my men. Myself, if it comes to it.
You, Lord Beringer?
A deputy sheriff has more motive than many to see his superior removed.
Dear God.
I've questioned all of the Welshmen. Not one of them can account for every minute they've been here.
I'll speak to the infirmary.
Murder in his own chambers.
If I know Edmund, he'll be distressed beyond all measure. Blaming himself for not mounting a watch over the sick room.
Why should he?
Exactly.
What about the patients in the main hall? Could they have seen anything?
All manner of people come and go through those rooms. But you're right, they'd have to be questioned. How did Lady Prescott take the news?
How would you think? But better than I expected, if I'm honest.
And the daughter, Millicent?
Without a sound.
Have they been taken to see him yet?
I'm going now to escort them. Why?
I'd like to be there.
Thank you, brother. You may cover his face again.
My lady.
I suppose it's the shock.
Well, the calmness in the girl, you mean? Yeah, probably.
My lord, I blame myself for this. The Lord Prescott was under my care. If only I...
No blame attaches itself to you, Brother Edmund.
But it does. Oh, it surely does.
Hush, no. There's no man takes better care of his charges as well, you
Look,
know.
Not all. Not all.
You're taking more than your due, and that's all you're guilty of, in God's eyes as well as ours. Keep your balance, Edmund. The others still need you.
Yes. Yes, you're right, I suppose.
Of course he's right, brother. My experience, he usually is.
You. What will happen to Ellis?
Our Welsh hostage. Hardly had time to think. Not even sure where he is.
He's watching us closely from by the gatehouse. And his foster brother with him.
They both look like lost souls.
Yeah, very different souls in happy times. Our death has made them twins.
My Lord Berenger.
Lady Millicent. I thought you'd gone with your mother.
Her handmaid's looking after her. I wanted to ask you a question, you and the brother infirmer.
What question, my lady?
I know that my father wasn't constantly watched, but was anyone seen going into his room? Anyone at all?
Edmund?
I myself looked in twice.
And anyone else?
I know of only one.
Brother?
But there was surely no harm in it. It was my second visit. I found a man beside the bed, leaning over the Lord Prescott.
Do you see what he was doing?
Well, it seemed to me that he was trying to wake him. Well, I couldn't have that, so I took him by the shoulder and pointed him out of the room.
He went willingly.
He made no protest. And no harm was done. The Lord Sheriff never stirred.
No. Nor ever will again. Name him, this man.
It was him. The prisoner. Ellis Ap Cunham.
What have we done?
My lady.
What have we done, you and I?
Millicent.
You went in there.
He wanted to speak to him.
Nothing more, I swear
you
it.
You swear it? You swear it as you swore your love for me?
Yes.
Herbal, did you know about this?
Something of it.
I do love her. And I went to pledge to her father to kneel and offer my lands and my titles. I love her and she loves me.
No, I take back my love. I hate you. I loathe you.
My lady.
Do you know what else he swore, this Welshman? I'll tell you. Over and again he swore it, that he'd do anything to keep us together.
I didn't mean
anything, and now he's done it.
Listen to me.
Don't touch me. Don't come near me. Murderer.
No, never!
Enough. Now let's get to the heart of this. Brother Edmund.
My lord.
You say you found this man in the sheriff's room.
Yes.
Had he been there long?
I thought he'd only just then crept in.
But he could have been there longer.
He could have been standing over a man he'd already smothered.
It might be so.
No!
But the thought didn't enter my mind. If there'd been anything sinister in him, wouldn't it have shone?
Did you look at the bed again after he'd gone? Was the sheriff breathing?
I did look, but not closely. And you know how deep a sleep he was. I wish to God I'd checked.
You had no cause to. And his best cure was to be left alone.
And you don't know of anyone else who might have gone into that room?
No one, but the door was never locked. There may well have been others.
One was enough. And that one we can put a name to.
No, my lady, this is all wrong.
Quiet, lad. Ellis Ap Cunham, how do you answer this charge?
The Lady Mellicent does me terrible wrong. I wouldn't have hurt her father, not for any gain. I never laid hand on him.
But you did go to the room.
To ask for her hand. I know he was an enemy of the Welsh, but he might have listened. He might have...
How did you find him?
Deep asleep, as the brother says. That's the truth, and I'll swear it on the altar.
It is the truth.
Your brother defends brother.
Ellis was with me. He told me about the lady and that he loved her. He wanted to speak to the Lord Prescott man to man. I saw him enter the room and leave it, and there was no manner of stealth in him. He crossed the courtyard straight and true, not caring who might see him go in.
Oh, but he was the only one who did.
Anyone could have entered.
It can't be proved that anyone did.
I think it can.
Cadva?
Something's been worrying at my memory, some morsel I couldn't bite down.
And now you can?
Yes. When he was brought into us, Gilbert Prescott was wrapped in a fine cloak.
Sheepskin. It belongs to my Lord Ethel.
Do you recall it, Hugh?
Yes, I do. A handsome cloak with a golden clasp.
Right. And when Elliot asked me to fetch it for him, something about it was wrong. I said so at the time.
You did, brother.
Well, now I know what it was. The clasp was gone.
Is this true, boy? Why wasn't it noticed?
And all the hue and cry.
Has Ellis been alone since he left the sick room?
Not for 1 second.
So says his foster brother.
So will say many. The Welsh soldiers, the brothers in the courtyard, we've always been in sight.
Strip me. Search my body. I won't endure to be thought thief and murderer both.
Cadwell?
Nothing. You?
Nothing. Cover yourself.
Are you content?
Are you? This was your idea, remember?
I'm content.
You'll still have to be held under guard.
Along with Elliot and the others.
I understand.
Cadwell, will you come back with me to the sick room?
Of course.
Brother.
What is it?
The Lady Mellicent. I don't understand why she turned on me like that. She did say she loved me.
And what else did she say? Did she tell you her father would never agree to the marriage?
I said she did.
And did she wish that something might delay his return? Or perhaps even prevent it altogether? Even half in jest? Did she wish that?
She did.
Then right now she hates herself far more than she hates you. Hold the lamp close.
Here.
In the death chamber, with the door closed fast, Hugh Beringer and Brother Cadwell stood beside Gilbert Prescott's body. They turned back blanket and sheet to the hollow breast and held their saucer lamps to the deep-lined face. The steady light moved slowly across the still, bruised mouth, the nostrils, and the grizzled beard.
No matter how feeble or how deep asleep, a man will fight for his breath. And whatever is clamped over his face, he'll inhale. As did this man. Do you see it?
Where?
Caught in the nostril.
Yes. No more than a wisp. Blue.
Careful. Your breath almost dislodged it. Yes, blue.
An expensive dye. There's no blue in these coverings.
Let's have it forth. There.
Two strands. No, three.
And springy. Wool. I don't want to let go of these tweezers. Reach in my bag. You'll find a wooden pillbox.
Here.
Right, now, just hold your breath till I have it safe. Good.
Is there anything else?
Move the lamp. Yes. There. No. You've lost it. Go back. More. A single strand. Hold your breath. And I'll put it with the other.
Right.
Blue and rose. Precious colours. Expensive.
But not as expensive as that.
Where?
Caught in the side of his beard. There.
Yes. Expensive indeed. Let's see if I can get it free without breaking it.
Oh, well done.
Golden thread. Blue and rose and gold.
He died a princely death. Cloth of fine wool and golden weave. Tapestry. Lady's gown.
Or an altar cloth.
No, I refuse to believe it. To use a sacred item for such a deed, no man in Christendom would sink so low.
Well, perhaps no man did. The cloth may well not belong to the abbey. But we have to know.
Even to suggest such a thing comes close to blasphemy.
To allow the sheriff's murderer to go unpunished, that would be the blasphemy.
No one but we three knows of this. A discreet search will cause no comment or alarm. Father, whoever did this must be found, for his soul's sake. He cannot be denied the chance of confession and repentance.
You will see to this task yourself?
Yes, Father.
Then I give my permission.
Thank you, my lord.
And I pray to God that you will be unsuccessful. Now, if that is all...
I'm sorry. It isn't all.
Speak.
There's also the matter of the gold clasp, taken... stolen from the sick room.
Taken by the murderer?
In all likelihood, yes.
It has to be found. Whatever steps are necessary.
My lord Berenger...
Does this house condone the sin of theft, my lord?
You forget yourself, Master Deputy Sheriff.
I ask your pardon, Father.
You have it, my son. Ah, this dreadful business has made us all strangers to ourselves. And you're right. It has to be resolved. What must be done?
They searched. Cadwyl for a cloth, any cloth, which could show the colours he sought. He examined every hanging, every tapestry and altarpiece the abbey possessed, but none of them matched the precious, quivering fragments. Hugh, for his part, searched the cells of the brothers, the novices and the boys, and the hostels which housed the abbey's visitors, both high-born and low. But nowhere did he find any trace of the great golden pin that had held the collar of Lord Ithel's cloak to keep the cold away from Gilbert Prescott on his final journey. The day was spent by then, but after vespers and supper, Cadwyl returned to the task.
I shall pray for him. I shall pray for his salvation.
Will you now, Morris?
Yes, of course. His debts are paid. Divine justice has been done.
And whose hand was God's instrument?
Blasphemy! The hand was God's own. You do wrong to doubt it. I shall pray for him. I shall pray for his salvation, then.
He's been like that ever since he heard the news. Cadwyl, I wonder... Well...
You wonder if his madness is misfortune or cunning?
God forgive me, but he is certainly very content with the man's death.
And he's a strong, able man who harboured a deep grudge.
Do you think...
I think in his madness he could have killed and thought it God's work. But where would he lay hands on a rich cloth? There's nothing like it here.
No, but...
Have you spoken to the other patients?
Everyone.
Yeah. And they were willing enough to talk, I imagine. It's not often they have something like this to add excitement to their days.
That's true enough, but none of them could say much of any help. Save, possibly, old brother Reese in the end bed.
The cat file! Oh, mein da, Boki, where they thought him well, dear.
You are Bindis Theoris. Brother Edmund tells me you saw something.
So? Oh, no. I'm little prophet to you there, brother. I know light from dark, but no more than that. Not these days. But my ears have grown sharper as my eyes have dimmed. I swear it.
That's not the case. What did you hear then?
I heard the other brothers asleep for one. They always sleep after dinner. And I always lie here and listen and wish I could join them.
Now, brother, you get your sleep in plenty, just at odd times, that's all.
That's true.
So is that what you heard? The brothers snoring?
No. I heard the door of the private room.
The sheriff's chamber? You sure?
It creaks sometimes when it opens. I heard it twice.
Did anyone speak?
No. But the first time, I heard tapping. Like a stick.
Wait, when was this?
I don't know. The second time, I heard feet. He had light feet, whoever he was. Then I heard Edmund. Well, I know his step, don't I, Edmund?
You do, brother.
Please, that first time.
The time with the tapping?
Yes. How long Was the man in there?
Cadfael. I didn't hear him leave. I must have drowsed away after all. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be, my friend. Don't be. I'm your Nap Guthrie.
That's my name.
Brother Edmund told me I'd find you here.
So I'm a cattleman. You've no calves or lambs, so I work with your horses.
And work well, so I'm told.
You seem to be told a good many things, brother.
You spend less and less time in the infirmary now.
Oh, my leg's mending.
That crutch is awkward for you.
I can work with one hand. Or sitting, if need be.
Your leg's mending. You'll be able to throw your prop away any day now.
I've been told not to. Not yet.
Mm-hmm. And you do what you're told.
It's some men's fate, brother, to follow orders.
Well, then you'll be glad to get away from here and back to your cattle, where they do obedience to you.
I tend them and care for them.
Mm-hmm. As we've done for you.
Did I say otherwise?
You won't mind if I sit down. You know the thing that happened in the infirmary.
Is there anyone here that doesn't?
It was after dinner. I doubt you stay there long once you'd eaten. Sleeping after a meal, that's for the aged. That's not for you.
I left them snoring. Why do you want to know?
Because you might be a good witness, Miles. Did you see anything to give you pause? Any man lurking?
I saw no man.
The sheriff and his enemies, like the rest of us mortals. One of them deadly.
I saw no man, friend or enemy, anywhere near that door.
Where did you go? Yeah, to the stables.
To the brook. When the wind's up, it smells of the hills. I was tired of the smell of shut-in old men and their talk that goes round and round.
Like mine.
I didn't say so.
The next day was to see the sheriff laid to rest in his tomb in the Abbey Church, with a mass to be said for his soul. Friends and acquaintances had begun to arrive and take up residence for the morrow, and Cadfael lingered in his duties to watch them and fit noble names to the somber faces. He was thus occupied when he observed one unexpected but particular face entering through the abbey gateway.
Well, well, Magdalene. We didn't think to see you again so soon.
Cadfael.
You're here for tomorrow's service.
Is that when the sheriff's to be buried? No. I'm here to collect a child from the town who's joining the nunnery.
Oh.
Plain child, I'm told, and none too bright. But willing.
Well, I dare say she'll be better off with you.
Then sold off like an unpromising heifer to the first man who makes a grudging offer of marriage? Yes, I dare say she will.
So how are things in your forest? No more raiders?
Not so far. But I wouldn't say they won't try again.
Oh, don't tell me you haven't organized the forest man into keeping watch for you.
I may have done something of the sort. But from what I hear, it's not us who's in turmoil. What's been happening in this town? Thank you. To the greater glory of God.
Amen.
Mm. Is this your own brew?
It is.
Almost as good as mine. Well, Cadfael, I wouldn't say that boy couldn't kill a man, but I don't think he'd kill his girl's father.
It's easy enough to ease the man out of the world, though.
And even someone not given to murder could have done it before he realized.
So it could be said.
No. Only a stranger could be killed that easily. This lord was armored in identity. The one man who could give the lad what he wanted most. Mm.
And the one man who prevented him from having it.
Mm. I may be wrong about him. He may be the one of his kind who does what his kind doesn't do. There's always one.
The girl believes absolutely that he is guilty.
Yes, this girl. They're of an age.
Yes.
And she's the more mature, and by some years. Is it possible that she...
Possible. Well, I suppose so.
But you don't think so. Or don't want to. You said she's racked with guilt.
For her thoughts. Nothing more.
But if she did love the boy...
No, I think she did. And still does, for all her accusations.
Then if you're right, perhaps some good can come out of this grief in the end.
Well, Lady Millicent.
Brother?
Come in from the cold. How may I serve you?
My business is with the sister from Godric's Ford. Good day to you, sister.
Magdalene. What business can you have with me, child?
Sister, when you go back, I want to go with you. I've done with the world. I'm going to become a nun.
Dead Man's Ransom was written by Ellis Peters and dramatized by Bert Cools. The narrator was Michael Kitchen. It featured Philip Maddock as Brother Cadvile, Jonathan Taffler as Hugh, Susanna York as Sister Magdalene, Jason Hughes as Ellis, Katie Odie as Millicent, Mark Lewis Jones as Eliud, Trevor Peacock as Rodolphus, Sean Prendergast as Ithel and Edmund, Douglas Blackwell as Morris and Rhys, and Matthew Morgan as Anion. The music was by Peter Salem, the producer, Neil Cargill.